When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back to our new mini-series of Deep Dives, where we will discuss topics that we might have touched upon in the past. With this mini-series, we will be taking a deep dive into these topics, and today we will be looking at marriage. With marriages breaking like biscuits these days, join us at the table today as we try and get to the bottom of why this is happening. See you in a sec. Hi, and welcome back for this third and final installment of this great episode regarding marriages. I hope you've heard the first two episodes. If you haven't, please make sure you go and give them a listen, as it will make more sense. Other than that, I'm going to play a few clips from last week's episode, just to refresh your memory a little bit, and then we shall conclude with the show.
Where people have just married for the passport. I don't think there's a few of those. I think that's pretty much all of them.
No two people can ever agree on the same thing.
All the time.
There's
never.
This is all false, because I ain't one.
I was asking for a Hoover, but they sent me a blender.
Married with kids. I don't have that label.
Yeah, I know they're not going to break. I understand, and I feel sorry for you, and I empathize with you. But
no,
that's
I didn't say nothing about me, man.
Mediator.
Call the mediator to think, right, you need to do this between you. You need to work it out.
I agree with that.
Okay, guys, I hope you enjoyed that. Now, on with the show.
Both individuals, parents get together and make sure they can mediate together, because again, you don't want to seem, well, that's your daughter, that's why you're taking her side. But yes, I agree with that. You do need to get both. That's what I said before. You can't just walk away from a marriage. You have to try.
Yeah, of course.
Counseling, mediation, talk it through. And once you've tried everything and it still doesn't work,
Yeah, but this is before getting married. I think so a lot of marriages, in my opinion, fail because people don't even communicate certain things. So I think if you've got a daughter and she's got a career and she's worked hard at it, I'm assuming as you as fathers are going to look for someone who, if she wants to work, are going to look for someone who is going to be tolerant and accepting of that. Or actually, if you found a decent man that you thought was good for your daughter, but he was like, no, she can't work, but your daughter's worked hard for her career and she wants to work, would you encourage her to marry that man, or would you say no?
I would leave the option to my child.
So if she said no,
this is the thing that hurts me the most, is we still don't understand what marriage is in Islam. Well, I'm sorry, what marriage is in Islam the perspective from where my parents come from. When they get married, it's two families marrying each other. They don't actually understand the concept of the bride and the groom are reading the vows.
Their lives, yeah.
It's their lives. You must ask their permission first.
Did you watch that video I sent you once about the Iranian guy, the businessman that you mentioned earlier?
Yeah.
So when he said, I think it was his sister's getting married.
Yes, his sister's getting married.
And then his
dad,
father came and he said, "We're not to the girl's to the guy's parents." He said to the groom's parents, "said we're not getting married, right? These two are getting married, so let them decide. Like, don't, you know, enforce your own.
You're not marrying the family."
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas, unfortunately, in our tradition at the moment, you're marrying the family. But nowhere in Islam does it say the parents read the vows on behalf of the children. It says the bride and the groom read the vows. The groom has to say, "Kabul, I do," three times. The wife, the bride has to say, "Kabul, I do," three times. So, yes, I would actually listen to my daughter's opinion and make a decision based on that. I would not enforce anything upon her that she does not want.
So is that similar for you then as well?
Yeah, exactly. Because at the end of the day, you're not going to force your opinion on your matter of, on what it is. Because
well, that makes sense, isn't it?
Yeah, you raise them to be the best. Well, you try to anyway, because you all make mistakes just like everyone else. I mean, parents.
Yeah, you do the best you can.
Yeah, and then obviously the child will then turn on and says, "Yeah, you know, you've done a good job, but yeah, I remember when you did this mistake, but that's going to bound to happen anyway. I expect that. But nothing's perfect. You learn and then you live and then you carry on. Yeah. That's all you can do.
This is, yeah, I think you're right there. As parents, you need to be able to teach your kids to plan, make judgments, make decisions based on what you can research, look at, find out. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with Saul.
And the same applies to the, because obviously in arranged marriages, which I forgot to mention anyway, they do research on you and your family. So you do the same as well. So the female then background, there's a background research. Oh, do they have a job? Have they done anything, you know, naughty or dodgy and stuff like that? And that's how you can go off by.
Well, so that's really interesting, because my wife's in-laws told my parents she was educated. She was a teacher. And then afterwards, I found out that was all bullshit.
Was exaggerated?
It was exaggerated. Not even exaggerated. I think it was an outright lie.
Could have been we don't know. She could have been a teacher. We don't know, but I'll take your word for it. I'll take your word for it.
I know, because I asked the questions. When this was passed to my parents, they didn't look into it. They didn't ask for the certificates. I mean, maybe that's going a bit too far. But now when I've said to her, "I was told you was a teacher," she goes, "No, I was just, sitting in the classroom."
Do you think that's common though? I mean, outright lies wrong, but exaggeration. It's almost like a job interview, isn't it? I think a lot of people would exaggerate. Not outright lie, but exaggerate. It looks like me weird. I'm not saying outright lie, I'm saying exaggerate,
yeah,
wouldn't
they? But what? At what point does an exaggeration become a lie?
When it's not, it's completely not true. When it's completely untrue. That's a lie. When it's an outright lie.
Niz's sake, it was like, she's just in school. She wasn't a teacher.
Yeah.
So that's an outlier lie.
Yeah.
But she was still in the school though, wasn't she? So they're going to say, "Oh, no, we didn't," you know, they'll make up something.
Bad to say, but I know someone, he married someone who was, so his wife's from Pakistan, but she's the daughter of a general, like high up. And they were told that he was an IT guy and he was like, blah, blah, this and that. He was just a security guard. Yeah. And at the time, I think he was working for a hospital. And the IT, you know where that came from? He was helping out at an accountancy firm as a volunteer. And that's where the IT, whatever label came from. But they're all right. They're still married now, so it's all good. But I'm just saying, people do exaggerate.
They stretch the truth.
That's not right.
Too far.
It's not right. Okay, so we started off by discussing how marriages were in the 50s, which was over 70 years ago, and how they have changed so much over the years and over time. More than likely, they will change a lot in the next 70 years. And more than likely, we won't be around to witness this. What do you guys predict the future for the Institute of Marriage? What do you think it will look like in the next 70 years? Obviously, we don't know what the future holds, but just a guess by the way things are going at this current moment in time.
I think marriage will be, unless there's a revolution back, it's going to be marriage. People aren't going to be getting married.
There is a bit of a culture of that happening now.
Yeah, so I don't know if you see a trend, you know, like flares are back in. You know, they're remaking movies from the 70s now. So unless marriage has a, what's the word for it? If marriage has a respring, or, you know, it comes back into trend, then it will uptake. But I don't
think marriage has ever gone out of trend. It's always been, like, especially Asians, we sort of live and die for marriages.
Yeah, but that's the problem. We're trying to outdo each other at each marriage, which means you're spending more money. And at some point, people are just going to say, I ain't got the fucking money to do that.
But I'm sure Saul will agree with this. Islamically speaking, marriages are quite a simple affair. Yeah. We make it difficult.
Yeah, no, it is.
Actually, I told my parents this. I told my parents.
We make it difficult. The people make it
difficult. I told my parents.
It's humans that make the problem, not Islam. We need to differentiate. Yeah. Islam's pure.
I said to my parents, Islamically, we just need to do the nikah, and that's all I want to do. We don't need to spend money on a horse. We don't need to spend money on a chauffeur.
Well, you were sat on a horse, didn't you?
Yeah, I was.
Look at you. Horse, yeah.
I didn't go sit on a horse.
Exactly. So I didn't get to sit on a horse. Neither did I.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I
didn't even get a fancy car.
I was hoping to ride off into the sunset, but I've never ridden a horse before, so.
Look, you didn't fall off. That would have been something to remember, eh?
Yeah, maybe I could have ended up in hospital and then we died after you. Then I got no better to say that.
So future of marriage then, next 70 years, guys. Come on.
I see it on a downward spiral.
Yes.
I think marriages will fall below 5%. People will enter partnerships, cohabitants instead. There's a population collapse, which means I don't think we'll see kids. If people do want kids, I think they'll turn to IVF through donated sperm. It's really bad. I see things going really bad.
Yeah. Saul?
The way marriage will be, again, this is just opinion, and again, I'm going off by, you know, the science, they say, signs of Kiamat. They say they're going to have 4 women to 1 man. That's what I see could potentially be happening.
So you see there's more males?
No
more females than males. Than
males, yes.
But what do you think, how does that relate to the marriage, do you think? What's going to happen?
It's really weird that
they've got a power trip.
Because globally, the split between male and female is about 50-50. And when they've tracked this trend, it stays the same.
Yeah, it does, but there's an Isani in it. It's going to get.
But in India, there's more men than there are females. And the females are now getting picked. Literally, they can say no to a man. But the problem that started.
I thought there was more females than men.
No.
Across the world.
Right now, it's more men.
Yes.
But I think it's about 51 to 14, something like that.
Yes, it depends on the ages. No, you're right. There's an article I read. It said, if you look at the median age, it's about 50-50, yeah? But women live longer because men...
die of stress. It's true. They do, though.
They do die. Yeah. They die younger, but that's because they go do hard labor.
Yeah.
I'm not saying women don't do hard labor, but women are quite cozy at home hoovering while the man's out trying to build a tall building and then falls off and dies. But literally, yeah, I did read this and they did do the stats on it. And they said that at the time of birth, it's 50-50. But as you get older, women live longer, men die younger.
I think before it was the women that were feeling like they were getting forced into marriages, just generally speaking. I think now it's the men that are feeling like, you know, like, why don't, you know, I don't think I want this stress. Like, you know, like I said, they're happy to just live with them without marriage because they don't, the prenup, like you said, 50-50. And if you ask the prenup, it's a headache. So men are still going to be men. They're still going to be providers. Women
it's
can
like
work.
It's like that article that I read on Japan. It's high rates of marriage while the person's in working age. But as soon as they retire, they want to get divorced. But that's because the woman never gets to see the man. The only time they see the man is when he comes home late at night to eat food. And then maybe...
when he's destroying the studio. So yeah, carry on.
I was going to say bang the missus, but... apart from that, and then when he stays at home, when you really get to know the person and they're thinking,
well, that's what happened in COVID.
Different way.
That's what happened in COVID, yeah. That's why COVID took a lot of strain on a lot of
divorces.
Yeah.
Increased because
they were in the home within the.
You're avoiding each other. You're not seeing each other. Is that a marriage, though? Is that a marriage?
It's not a marriage. We're on an amicable agreement right now. You go to work, I go to work. Pay this much of the bill, I pay this much of the bill.
I raise the kids, I do the...
I'll see you 2 hours every Tuesday. Yeah. The rest of the time, don't know.
That's funny because it reminds me of this comedian. I can't remember who it was. And he was talking about how his parents, like his dad worked, 9-10 hours a day. He was out in the fields. They'd come home and they'll speak to each other. How's your day? Because they missed each other because they're not spoken to each other for 9-10 hours, you know, how was your day, blah this, blah that. But now it's like your wife never leaves your side. She's in your back pocket. As soon as you get to work, she's sending you a text message, you know, she's showing you what she's cooked, so you know what she's doing throughout the day because of these devices. So you don't have that time to miss each other. So you know, you'll go home, she'll be like, I made this, I know you sent me the picture. Oh, I went here. Yeah, I know you text me. So they already know what's been happening. So there's not much to talk about.
Yeah, that's true. So you just have an awkward silence.
Yeah. The times changed a lot.
Yeah, but then you need to have an interest, isn't it, after that? When what interests you? So I don't know. Activities, what do you like doing? Jigsaws, for example. Do it together as a family.
Bonding, isn't it?
That's
yeah.
such a good point. And this is where I had another issue with my marriage was she didn't have the same kind of upbringing I did. And when I say upbringing, I don't mean my parents bringing me up. Me experiencing life in the UK, her experiencing life in Pakistan. If I tried to talk to her about Terminator or maybe a scary movie, maybe the Goonies, she's going to think, what the hell are you talking about? Or when she talks to me about some Indian movie.
Yeah, so I was saying in reverse, she feels the same with him. So you're thinking, what the hell, you don't know Goonies? She probably named some random, maybe Bollywood film or whatever drama she used to watch, and it's quite famous in Pakistan or whatever. And she's thinking, wow, he doesn't know this.
And I will say so, now, yeah. I actually tried. I started watching Indian soaps. And to prove my point...
Aren't you a peach?
I watched an Indian... Mamta, I watched Banomari Dulan, I watched all of these, and we used to talk about it. And whenever I tried to get her to watch the films that I was watching, it was like, oh, I don't know what's going on.
Not for me, yeah. Buff. Yeah, so it's like we said earlier, innit? It's about
you've got to have
compromise, and
you've got to have a point of communication, something you can talk about, and yes, compromise. It can't all be one way, it's just too much.
Right, so I think we'll leave it here then. I think moral.
I've got more to get off my chest.
The moral. Okay. The moral. We'll be until next week, Niz. Right. The moral of the story is, in terms of marriage, I hope you've learned some lessons and some gems here because we actually have give some good advice. Compromise is the main one. You have to compromise.
And stand up if your parents try to force you. You know what, stand up and say, I don't think this is going to work, or
don't. Yeah, we touched on
don't
this
remain silent.
On an old episode, but we'll reiterate that one again then. So I think the point here is if you succumb to the emotional blackmail and you think you're pleasing your parents or whatnot, don't forget, marriage is not a joke, it's a lifelong thing. your parents may be long gone, or they may be doing their own thing, you're going to be stuck in that marriage. You're going to have to pick the pieces. So,
and it won't. And if
it also affects the children as well.
So I was going to say, I don't know if you're lucky enough to have kids, but then are you lucky to have kids? You're not only affecting two people's life. If you have a child, you're affecting a third. If you have another child, a fourth, a fifth.
I can't remember who I was speaking to about this.
And then the children think that's a normal way of living. And then they see that as that's how family life should be. Then it carries on. Then it's an endless cycle.
Yeah, I think it was Saul I was speaking. So, yeah, so basically, you're going to repeat that cycle. You've got to break that cycle because you probably come from a similar, with your parents' background, to your wife, and you've got different outlooks and whatnot. It's hard for the kids. And then if they learn that, it's learned behavior, they'll be like, oh, that's a norm. So they'll feed it to their kids. And it's like at some point that cycle has to break. Because it's just a vicious cycle then. It's never ending because you just see it to be the norm. Because that's what your norm is, what? It's what you're raised with.
And unfortunately, in the West, it really amplifies and hurts because, and this is true, in the West, you have easy access to drugs and alcohol. And people literally go off the flipping rails. Literally. People do so much harm to themselves with drugs and alcohol. Whereas in South Asia, drugs are not as easy to come by. Neither is alcohol easy to come by. So they just suffer in silence. Whereas here in the West, it's your kids might see you coming home drunk or smoked up, or they might find you on an overdose. That's not good. You don't want
to
end up there.
Is this pertaining to marriage problems? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, so
here again, in the West, it is a lot different.
So here's the moral again. If you're having marriage problems, don't turn to drugs. Don't turn to alcohol. Seek help from family members, maybe religious leaders, if you're religious, or anyone, a third party, someone that can help intervene, maybe get a line of communication going, maybe professional help, psychiatrist, therapist, whatever. If all else fails, divorce is there. It is a means to the end. It's the last resort, but it's better than, you know, getting depressed and wasting your life away because you only get one life. So, you know, don't go down that road.
Speak to a sensible scholar or an imam. Don't go to one of these imams who are from Pakistan and they've got their old values. Go speak to, I'm not going to call them modern because they're not modern. They follow Islam.
Right,
Nis. But what they're doing is they're actually following the teachings rather than the culture. This is another point my father made. My father said to me, I never told you Islam said you had to marry who I wanted. It was our culture.
Right.
Ravaj.
Right. Nis, I think I'll speak to you offline, off air. But for now, I think I've left the listeners with my words of wisdom. In terms of marriage, I like each of you to do the same. So any advice, anything you can tell, because marriage is a heavy topic. It affects a lot of people, marriage, divorce, all encompassing. So any advice, anything you can give, any last words, please leave them with our lovely listeners.
I just have to love to reiterate, talk, speak up, let your other half know. Or let your parents know, or let someone else to step in and help mediate or resolve any issues. And if you can compromise, or if you're already compromising, maybe ask the other person to compromise as well. And Saul, what do you think?
Yeah, wise words by both of you. Communication is the most important. Take the good with the bad and ask for help from obviously many people. Avoid being intoxicated, and there's nothing else to say. I think you guys have covered it.
I think we've covered it. So yeah, keywords,
communication.
Okay, one piece of advice. So just one word, right? this, right? I'm going to say one. I'll say compromise. You'll say
communication.
And Saul, just any one word for a healthy marriage.
And another C, I'd say care. Take care of each other and the rest of the family and kids if you've got any.
Great advice, guys. And with that, you guys at home, take care of yourselves. And we will see you next week for another great episode. See you then. But for now, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.